What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and the Jim and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents White Caps, Three Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
No, but so it was called, so I had this character called Yaver, which is a huge ripoff of Borat. And so I created this show like called Yaver's World Cup Dates. And I went, I'm like, yo, I'm going to do a daily like 10-minute recap of the day before and then the matches to come for the World Cup. And you play it every day. They're like, okay, we'll do that. And so what I would do is every morning, it was every morning or every evening, I would go and watch Craig and I would steal everything he said on CBC, I think. And then I would just write it down and then I would regurgitate it on the air, but with my like sort of Borat style.
That's brilliant.
I did that for a month and it went nowhere. It got me literally nothing or didn't. But it was still like, it was cool. So I felt like Craig really was my guy. And it's funny how that all comes full circle. Because
that's me. Craig, do you know that story? Did you hear this before?
No.
Yeah, I've said it a couple times, but it's for real. Like,
that's
Craig.
Cool.
It's Craig Forrest, right? Like,
yeah.
I think it was Craig and I forget who else was on. Rod Black that was on or something?
No, I mean, well, World Cup would have been Vic Router.
Okay, there you
Vic
go.
Vic Router, yeah.
Yeah,
that's great. But you didn't copy what he was saying and.
No.
It was just the Craig stuff and the Borat voice.
Craig. Yeah, that was it. And my mom has tapes of it somewhere. So I gotta figure out how to convert tapes to online. That's gotta be a thing.
That's great. That'd be some gold.
Oh yeah.
Need to hear that.
Cool. I do that with Atai. That's why we have him on here. He knows what's going on the ground there in Vancouver. So
that's it.
Welcome to Whitecaps Three Questions. Just chatting with JC there about his radio experience and also ASA there in Vancouver with the radio station. So where can we find you in the next game? That's the first question. Where can we find you for the
there
next
it
game?
Is. Yeah, Craig, a big question. And it's kind of how we got into the chat with JC as well. Just talking about radio history because some breaking, really sad, disappointing news this week with the plug being pulled on AM 730, long time station here in Vancouver, originally LG 73 and then Mojo Radio as well before it was AM 730 traffic. And that's exactly where we would broadcast the games from. So a good relationship between the Vancouver Whitecaps and Chorus Entertainment. That was one of the properties and that's where we would call the games from. So Colin Miller and myself usually doing the games on AM 730 won't be there this weekend. Still working out, from my understanding, where exactly it will be. There will be at least a digital feed that people can log into and listen to. But that's kind of a side story, backstory to really the legacy of AM 730, unfortunately being shut down. So just a tough time for the industry, tough time for all the people that worked at the station and then unfortunately we'll let go because of this decision as well. So thinking of those people that worked there full time, part time, really. Really sad time, tough day on Wednesday when that was announced.
Unfortunately, it's a familiar story, isn't it, that we're hearing? It's really unfortunate, and I hope those people will find their way somewhere else. It's a difficult time, and we know how that feels. We've all been there before.
That's exactly what we were doing. We were talking about just that, how we've been there before, been there several occasions myself, channels being shut down. One of my first TV gigs, Fox Soccer Report, produced out of Winnipeg.
Right.
The plug was pulled on that one as well. And yeah, it's just it can be a brutal industry, as you guys know, at times. And thankfully for myself, I've always found a way to land on my feet and find other opportunities. And it's also it's great to see, yeah, Footy Prime doing the job that you guys have been doing and seeing the growth of Footy Prime, because it certainly seems like that is obviously, it's a growing area for people to consume content. YouTube, and it's grown so much over the last few years, podcasts, live streams, and all the rest. So it's cool that there is this outlet now for people to get their content out there.
Yeah, it's a real changing world. And I mean, with the podcast, certainly the growth of it and what we're doing here is all really because we lost our jobs.
Yeah.
It's been fun and it's challenging, but who knows where this industry is going. And advice I would give young people that want to get involved is stay nimble. Stay like yourself. You've been able to do that and build relationships with people, because you just never know when things turn. But
that's exactly it, Jason. Of course. Yeah, no, and you bring up great points. The other thing I tell people is, like, get those minutes, right? Get on air, get in front of a camera, get in front of a mic, and just build up your voice and get confident with the way you sound and presenting. And there's so many options, so many ways to do that right now. And for me, AM 730 was that opportunity. Fresh out of school, one of the first gigs was at AM 730 doing traffic, and I logged so many hours, days, weeks, months, years, just kind of calling traffic reports, an accident on the Alex Fraser Bridge in the right lane, stick to the left to get by it. And that's exactly, you know, but that's exactly it. That takes you back, and it's important to get those minutes and just get comfortable with your voice. And however you do it, you know, podcast, YouTube, whatever it is, get those minutes and then build those relationships as well. I don't think I wouldn't have had this opportunity had I not moved to Toronto. I was at the One Soccer Network and got to know you guys a little bit better. So, grateful for this opportunity. It's good to know you guys, and it's been really fun. So I hope to keep doing this, talking soccer. It's the best gig in the world.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it as fun as we can, too, because obviously I think people enjoy that, and they like to escape a little bit and listen to a bit of football, a little bit of banter. So, yeah, what do you make of the Vancouver Whitecaps this last weekend against Portland? Talk about a little bit of a downer.
Yeah, I know. It's been tough. Craiger, it's been hard for the Caps, for us on the broadcast as well, because you're looking for these moments, right? As a play-by-play commentator, you're looking for these moments, and then the Caps just haven't created as many as they would have liked. And talking to Vanni Sartini today, he was saying that that sometimes they get in these areas and then they just got to put them away, and that's been a key for them. You know, goals change games, as the old cliche goes, and they haven't found those goals. They had some chances early on. In the last game at Portland, Sebastian Berhalter looked pretty good out on the wing, delivered some decent balls in, and then Fafa Pico had a header, and he just put it over the bar, sometimes just beyond the reach of the Whitecaps players, and that's the difference. It feels like they need something like that to get things going, because it's been all on Ryan Gold. We've talked about that in recent weeks. He's great. Some other players need to step up, and it's been close. I just need to find a way to get it over the line. And I think, you hope that the fate will change then and get them on a path of winning right now. But right now it's been really tough just kind of finding that way and having that belief. That's another thing Vanny talked about, is having the confidence right now. It's just hard, and they're up against it. Sometimes shoulders go down. It's something you never want to see on the pitch, obviously, but it's hard when the results aren't coming. So hopefully this weekend at home against St. Louis SC, at BC Place, they can turn things around and get the crowd behind them as well, because that could certainly help.
Yeah, I mean, the goals and the opportunities, because before they conceded, they actually looked decent, created some chances, didn't take them, and then they concede, and then you can see their heads drop a little bit. I mean, has this team lost confidence, you think, completely?
That's exactly what it looks like. And yeah, you wouldn't say completely. You never want to just completely write them off. But I guess that seed of doubt has been planted. And then you're right. When it goes against you, then it can turn into, oh, woe is me. Here we go again. What do we do to get out of this? And then you have the two yellow cards for Alessandro Schopp in that game as well, where I think those are the only two infractions he had the entire game. He had all these other hard hits and tackles and fouls and free kicks, and then he has the two and the yellow cards. They're tough, but they were also kind of out of frustration where he's a little behind and then kind of pulls at the shirt of the guy and things that you don't like to see. You hope you don't get booked for it as well, but it kind of, leads to that point. The frustration starts to sink in, the shoulders go down. So they need to find a way to get that first goal. I think that's just it. Get a lead. Start to feel good about yourselves. Get the crowd behind you as well at home, and I think that'll start to turn things around. But that's been the case in the last few games where they look good, 5, 6, 10 minutes maybe, and then they'll give up a goal. They'll concede against a run of play, you'd feel. Players might start to try to do too much, create opportunities where they can, and then it can turn sour real quick.
Yeah, I still look at Ryan Gold looks like he was a little bit frustrated too. But one thing, when he does get frustrated, he keeps working. The guy just does not stop working, and he just keeps going, which is just impressive. But it must be frustrating for him when he's got his fair share of goals, but he's not getting a lot of help there. Brian White came off, I believe, in the 73rd minute. He got some stitches, apparently. How's he doing?
Yeah, no update on his availability for the weekend at the moment. But, it was an interesting situation where he actually didn't start the match. So he was on the bench to start and Fanny Sertini thought that could be maybe a bit of a motivating factor for him to get him going because he hasn't scored in a little while as well. So he came in just at halftime, and it was a short shift for him because he takes a knock to the head. He was bleeding, as you mentioned, put some stitches as well. Hoping for a speedy recovery for him, hoping he's available for the weekend on Saturday.
Yeah, I was looking at the standings in the West. Vancouver, I think only St. Louis and Austin have less goals. You look at the top of the table, you want to bust into that top four or five, they have to start scoring goals. They just don't score enough goals.
Yeah, and it's something that we talked about, I think, going into the season, and you made the point, Craig. It's like, well, they didn't have a whole lot of trouble scoring last year, and it's true. So the goals were going in last year, set a club record last season for goals scored in the season. But this year, they looked good early on, had a variety of scorers. Everyone was getting in on the action, and then it's since dried up. And it goes back to the earlier point, the confidence, obviously a key factor. But I do feel like they have players that can put the ball in the net. Even with Ali Ahmed away with Canada at the Copa America, I still think that they've got Fafa Pico can get going. Brian White, obviously, is another key contributor up top. Ryan Raposo can score goals as well. Sebastian Bearhalter can strike from distance. Pedro Vite is one that you'd like to see him get involved in the attack a little bit more. And then Alessandro Schopp scored early in the season. You hope to see him get going as well. So they have these players, I believe, that can fill the net. They can pitch in with a goal here or there. But Gold is the main player when it comes to goal scoring and goal creation, really. So it always is going to go through him. Now you just hope that you get some other guys going because it is a confidence thing. It's exactly what it is. But it can turn quickly, especially at home in front of the home fans.
Yeah, we were talking with MLS 360 host Kevin Egan about MLS just in general, and he was just saying it's such a streaky league.
Yeah.
Teams go on these long streaks of not winning, and then all of a sudden they come up, and there's a few that can definitely turn things around, and certainly expect that. With the schedule coming up, St. Louis, obviously a team that has struggled to score a ton of goals themselves, and then they go on a road for three matches. Sometimes that can actually be a decent thing if you're struggling a little bit, but still, the travel and everything else is going to be pretty intense over the next few weeks.
No, that's exactly right. It is a grueling stretch of the schedule. And they knew they had all these road games coming up. But these last two in particular, would have hoped that they could have pulled some results away from home because they had the rest going into it. The game's going to be coming quite quickly now. So it won't have as much time to prepare for games. Maybe that's a good thing. Right now, it's just a matter of getting a result, getting a point, getting 3 points, especially at home, and then seeing if you can carry that momentum into the next game. They've performed well away from home so far this season, outside of the last two games, obviously. But they feel pretty good about the way the team can travel because they can get into that high press, create opportunities off of turnovers, and then defend well in their block. But right now, there is a bit of doubt in the group when it defensively, going forward as well. Where are the goals going to come from? How are they going to attack? And we'll see if that changes this week. Right now, it's just a matter of, yeah, getting a couple goals and then seeing if you can take that into the next game, because home or away right now, it's been a tough one for the Vancouver Whitecaps, just 2 wins in the last 10 games. So look to turn that around this weekend.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime, the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/Footy Prime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
What do you think of the Copa America so far? Have you had a chance to watch? I don't think we've chatted after the Canada game against Peru.
Yeah, it's been interesting. So we watched the Argentina game together, and that was an exciting game. I think one of the best games I've seen in a long time. Any sport, any league, just entertaining end to end action. And then I thought that was encouraging for what we might see against Peru. And then, to be honest, a bit of a letdown, just as far as chances created, what they were looking to do going forward. They got the result in the end. I think that's the most important thing. But I'd like to see them, you know, do a little bit more going forward and dictating play, controlling play a little bit more. I thought Peru looked pretty good outside of the crazy challenges and the red card.
The headbutt, you mean?
Headbutt as well. Like, you know, just ridiculous. So you take that stuff aside, the 11v11, I thought they looked pretty good against Canada. So I'm hoping for a better response from Canada against Chile.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, the Peru game was a difficult task. It was really, really hot for starters.
Yeah.
The linesman went down actually just before halftime with heat exhaustion. Apparently he's okay. Those conditions are difficult. I was impressed with Jesse Marsh, how he managed that game, because when they struggled, he almost went to a back five before the half, wanted to regroup at halftime and calm them down. And I felt that there was a chance that we could get caught up. Richie's already on a yellow. We know Richie likes to get involved, Richie Larea. But they were still aggressive, but they were calm. And I was watching them. The first few challenges, few tackles, they got up. They were shaking hands with the Peruvian players. They were just trying to stay out of that mess, which I thought I was really impressed with that, because that's a really difficult task when you're playing against teams that junk it up like that.
That's a fair point, Craig. You're right, because I think it took some discipline to not get carried away in a game like that, not to retaliate, not to get too hot, not to – yeah, to go at them and then exhaust yourself. So you're right. They were pretty patient, I guess, in that regard. And that probably led to the win and getting the results in the end. So, okay, fine. I concede. That's a good point, Craig. But I think going forward, when you look at this team, the firepower that they have, you know, up top, you want them to put away chances. You want them to have more than one goal under in the Jesse Marsh era.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And they've had it, because we saw them against Argentina. Have you got to bury those chances, because you're not going to get them very often. And the point that they created them was obviously brilliant, but they got to take those chances. And it is frustrating a little bit as we talk about teams who can't put the ball in the net. But this Chilean game, what do you make of it coming up? Certainly big opportunity, a win, and they're in, a draw. They're probably going to the quarterfinals, potentially against Venezuela. What do you think of their chances?
I think you got to feel pretty good about it. But at the same time, they haven't been in enough of these situations. So you hope that they rise to it. We've taken so many learning experiences over the last couple of years. You hope that they just get this one over the line, right? You don't want it to just be a learning experience at the end of it. So can they find a way to get it done? And you're right. I think a draw would get it done. You don't want them to sit back and settle for it. But at the same time, understand what's needed here. And if it is indeed, you know, just kind of finding a way to get a point here and get into the next round, that's what you have to do. And similar to the Euros, don't apologize for getting through to the next round or finishing wherever in the group, right? I thought it was interesting that Netherlands knew that they had their 4 points, just switching it over to the Euros a little bit and rotated a bunch. Should have done way better against Austria, but at the same time, got enough to get into the next round and understand that the competition starts now. And that's what I think Canada has to do in this game against Chile. Know what they need to do to get into the next round and then assess the games from there. So I like their chances. Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Obviously, Chile's going to be going after it as well. So, yeah, I'm just excited to see it play out, but hopefully they can do enough to get it over the line.
You're right about the game, though, about Canada, too, against Peru. I mean, there was parts of that that it was a little bit worrying, especially after they scored and the amount of opportunities. They have to learn to control the ball when they're in those positions, when they're under pressure and they're being pressed. And if they can do that against the Chileans and take their chances, we know they're going to create them. I think they have every chance of going through.
Yeah, but this is watching them now, getting a feel for the personnel that they have on the pitch and the way they want to play. I think that Crippo is going to have to be Crippo, and then this is exactly what I think they need to do to win, similar to what you did with Canada those years ago. Like, stand on your head, make those big saves, get us through to the next round, and then we've got the firepower up top to put away the goals when the chances present themselves. Need to do that part of it. And I think that's kind of the DNA of the team right now, and that's what we're going to have to do.
Yeah, Max Crippo has just been absolutely playing his best football when he puts that shirt on for Canada. I mean, it's been a difficult time for him actually at Portland. I think he conceded 26 in 13 games, and got another Canadian there, Pantemis, who's actually only conceded one in the last four since he's been gone. It'll be interesting to see whether Max can get back in this starting lineup.
Stop. We got to see him. Yeah, Vancouver Whitecaps against Pantemis last week, and he looked good. Looks pretty calm, comfortable. So yeah, they've got something going there. And then going back to Max Crippo, he looks great. It's fun to watch him, and hopefully they can get the results and a clean sheet going into that game against Chile.
Yeah, he's saving goals. He's saving lives. He's helping the assistant out on the sideline. He was the first one to notice that he had actually collapsed. My goodness, the guy's an absolute legend right now.
Yeah, that's right. Head on a swivel, right? That's, you got to be as a keeper. You know everything that's going on.
Well, that's right. That's what a goalkeeper's got to know. He's got to know it. He's got a vision. He's got to see everything that's going on. He certainly caught it. Asa, thanks a lot for joining us. This is amazing. Always have fun chatting and hearing with you, and hopefully we'll hear you on the weekend as well. You'll be somewhere, and good luck with everything, and we'll chat next week.
Yeah, sounds good, Craig. Thanks so much.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig, and visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Cheers for listening.
Cheers for listening.
Cheers for listening. That's great, guys.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show. Oh.